there's friction here. The struggle makes us new.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 o'clock on Friday. Woohoo! Hi, James.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm Luann Lineken, and I'm with
James Rich.
Hi. Okay, so I just want to give my number from the beginning, and I'll probably do it again. If anyone wants to contact me, they can contact me at 631-745-7980. If you want to share with me privately any testimonies so that I can share them with others with your consent, as we're on air with James also, and so that people can hear how the Lord is moving and changing your world and your mind into freedom and glory, from one level of glory to another level of glory, right? So we would love to hear from you if you would like to call. You can call me at 631-745-7980. Okay. So, Pastor Tom, as of right now, will be here next week with James. If anything changes, then he will not. But so, because I will be out of town. But it will be fun to listen to you guys because I have you on my, I downloaded. You could download WCNO if you want to listen live on your phone. Right, David?
Right.
Amen. So I suggest you do that, especially when you're not around in town. You can always do that. Okay, so we've been talking about spiritual gifts, and it's because we are on step 12, which is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message, and it's the message of the gospel of God, the good news of faith in Christ Jesus, his resurrection, his life, his death, and resurrection. And it's the same thing like in the big book, the Bible and the big book. It's a message of love, healing, faith. That's what the 12-step program, whatever 12-step program you're in, is really leading and guiding you to God. It says, may you find him now. That one is God. And it's his message of what he's already done for us and how we can live today in those promises. And the only way to know about his promises is to know him through his word. Right? And the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And this is really important because in order to operate our most excellent way in the gifts of the Spirit is to really understand and know him by spending time with him and in the Word and letting him, and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can be obedient is we know what God's calling us to do and how he's calling us to do it. Right? How he calls us to speak, how he calls us to behave with other people, how he calls us to love, how forgive, you know, and lay hands on the sick. What is the mandate? So with that, it's so we want to carry this message to other sick and suffering people, believers too, and unbelievers. And we say in 12-step programs, whatever 12-step program you're going to, we usually say if it's someone who's suffering from alcohol, that might be their leprosy of this day. You know, it could be anger. That might be their leprosy of this day. So we have to remember that, you know, that's a sin, sickness, and disease that people are suffering from. It's not only like in the spiritual, if we look at the spiritual sin, sickness, and disease, it's behaviors that we're, lies we're believing, how we're responding to circumstances in life, you know, the natural. We are spiritual beings, and we usually, because we don't know any better until we know better, we can't do better, right? And knowing better is knowing who the Holy Spirit is inside of us, because he teaches us Christ, Jesus Christ. We can't do better. And if we don't know that he lives in us and that he's giving us everything we need so that we can do we can operate in having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, which are the characteristics of God. We tried to carry this message to, and it's a healing message, a deliverance message. That's what the Word of God is all about. It's about you don't have to live that old way anymore. There's a new day, a new dawn, a new life inside of you that wants to thrive and grow from one level of glory to another level of glory. So we want to preach this message and to practice. That means to actually do these things, right? These principles in all our affairs. These principles are the characteristics of God and the gifts and talents and all the things that we are given as God wills it to us through the Holy Spirit, right? We will understand how to operate properly. I was just coming in here and I used it as a metaphor, but if I want to operate, we were talking about something wasn't operating properly, so we sometimes have to make some adjustments, but it never runs as smoothly until it operates the way it was designed. And I said, that's the way God feels about us. We want to go here and try to tweak that and do this. But really, if we just go to him, he'll say, no, all you have to do is do it this way. And it flows nicer. Your life flows nicer. Your thoughts flow nicer. Your words flow nicer, right? So, and we can't practice these principles unless we gather them in our heart, right, in all our affairs. And we have to let them in. So in Matthew 10:7, and this is the good news that he's talking about, okay? And he gave us a mandate. Matthew 10:7-8, and I'm talking about this before we get into the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, because it's a spiritual language and we need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to have a heavenly language. You have to have a heavenly being inside of you. God says we can't even see the kingdom unless we're born again. Never mind be able to operate in the kingdom. We have to be able to see the kingdom in our spiritual sense, right? So Matthew 10:7-8 says, as you go, proclaim this message, and it's the good news, right? The kingdom of heaven has come near. So, and it's the same thing. I'm just relating it the way God has showed me years ago about how all those years that I was still sick and suffering in the rooms, all right, in when I say in the rooms, for those who are attending 12-step groups or whatever, that they, you know what I'm saying, as I was attending these meetings, I wasn't applying the spiritual aspect properly. Now, I had a spiritual aspect, but it was distorted and it was demonic. I wasn't doing it properly. I wasn't having Jesus Christ as the center of it. I had a higher power. He was God, but he was a religious practicing kind of God. It wasn't the relationship that I have today, okay? It was a God that I created, you know, or a traditional God that man had created, not him himself. Mm-hmm. You like the way I said that, right? He's like, yeah, you said it.
I was thinking, I wish they could see your hands because it'll make more sense a lot of times.
So in Acts 1:8, it says, this emphasizes receiving power from the Holy Spirit to be witness in various places. We can't even, without the Holy Spirit, witness properly, because it's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us to Christ, to Jesus, and teaches us, right? And so when we're witnessing, it's the Holy Spirit through us witnessing. He's using the experiences we go through and teaching us through them to be able to share them with another person. We were talking about that, the scripture that you said to me yesterday about the testimony. Do you remember? In our testimonies?
Oh, this The testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. And it's really important because people need to hear that. And the spirit of prophecy is God's word being sent out forth. And that's how people can hear God through prophecy. You know, they might have been just thinking, not knowing they were thinking and God heard them, but they were just thinking about something. And then all of a sudden there's a prophecy that kind of answered something they were thinking about. And they realize, wait a minute. Nobody even knew I was thinking that, but God did, and he prophesies, and he wants to edify and encourage and heal and deliver you. So praise the Lord. So the Great Commission in Mark 16:15, and I'm going to read a couple of, a little bit of Mark, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes, and that's being born again, and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So there's a two process. So we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the born-again experience. But then there's the infilling on a daily basis of the Holy Spirit, which is where the gifts come in, where the fruit comes in. Because we want to be infilled. If we don't choose love or forgiveness when we're dealt with a situation that calls for God's love or forgiveness, we grieve the Holy Spirit. He hungers and thirsts. We quench him. Right, James?
Yeah, and living in sin.
Yeah, and living in sin.
Where we go against the word.
Amen.
So, he's grieved a lot these days, to be honest.
Yeah, uh-huh. Amen.
And then people wonder why they're having a hard time, why they don't feel God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the 10th step is for. Like, you know, listen, nothing replaces the Bible, but at least if we're going to refer to something, you know, like I read books that have scripture. So when I was born again, after being years and years in the program of, for me, it was Alcoholics Anonymous. I started in NA, but I wound up being in AA. Once I applied the Bible scriptures to the big book theory, oh my God, it was a whole different nature that happened. It was a spiritual thing that started to be born in my walk with God through it. Okay, so I know what it's like not to have scripture hand in hand with the 12 steps and still trying to do it. And yes, there were good days and there were bad days. But even on my worst day, with the Lord centered, Christ centered, it's still the best. It's the best day ever. Amen. So in Mark 16:17-20, it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you receive, you can't, if you don't believe, you can't receive, right? If you don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a being, is a person who wants to come and dwell in you, how do we say he's the governor, and we're the mansion, we're the governor's mansion. So the governor of the kingdom of heaven wants to come and live in you and pollinate through you the kingdom of heaven to everyone around you. So if you don't believe that to be true, you can't receive what he's already given. He's already given it to you. But if it's like me having all these gifts, but if I don't open them, I won't know what's in them. I won't know that I don't have to. Maybe I'm walking to 5 miles a day, and then I open a gift and there's a bike in there. I don't have to walk anymore. I can actually take a bike. I don't know where this stuff is coming from, but it's coming. So, you know what I mean? And so there are gifts that we were given, all the promises of the Word of God. He gave it all to us. And it's up to us to unpack it, unwrap what he's already given us. Don't keep them. Don't try to hide them. Don't, you know, we want to open.
Most people don't even know they have them.
That's right. So
till you step out in faith and start like praying for people, seeing the gift of healing move or the gift of miracles.
That's right.
Praying for someone, getting words of knowledge or different things. But you kind of got to step out and start doing it. Usually, yeah. Even know you have it.
And that's why fellowship, being part of like-minded people that are seeking the kingdom, people that are hungry for God, is so important because it's through the body, you know, that we grow spiritually. Yes, we have time with him alone, but that's a personal growth. But as a body of Christ, we need that. We need family. God created the marriage and the family for a purpose and a reason. And it's not always your natural family that is side to side with you. It's your spiritual family. It's the ones that are living spiritually. Praise the Lord. So it also says here that they will speak in new tongues. So if you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you receive the Holy Spirit, you have the gift of tongues inside of you. You can speak in tongue. Okay? It's the heavenly language. It's a direct language from the Holy Spirit to God. We don't always, that's why we have interpretation, because there may be someone, even yourself, that when you're praying in tongue, in the spirit, you may get an interpretation, or someone else might. You can pray in tongue, in spirit, and not even understand it, but you don't have to, because God does know it. And he knows who you're praying for, what you're praying for, and why you're praying for.
And there is, I mean, when you accept the Lord, you do receive the Holy Spirit, but then there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a power.
Yeah.
Baptizing power. Because he prayed over the disciples before he left, received the Holy Spirit, and he blew on them. But then it wasn't until Acts 2 when they were endowed with power from on high and the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues.
Amen.
For the first time.
That's the second, right. And also there's another story when he said, when you were baptized, what were you baptized in? And they said, John. And he said, so have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no.
They said, we know not whether there
is. They don't even
have
know.
Have you received the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Yes, you believe. We
I
know not
it.
Whether
yeah.
there is a Holy Spirit.
That's right. I have it in here. We'll get to all that. But that's all evidence that, yes, there's another level or another part of what God is doing in his family, his children, that he wants us to receive and benefit. It's a benefit of being in the family of God, right? So they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will, not maybe, sometimes, they will recover.
A lot of people wonder why this snake thing, but the snakes were a scary thing over there.
Well,
and
right.
But so the snakes would not harm them. It's basically, you know, they weren't going around doing like the snake churches,
yeah,
you know.
Dude. Yeah, no. But also it represents, you know, the devil really can't, unless we give him permission in our minds, hurt us. You know, once we understand the truth is what makes us free. So I feel like we can, you know, when it says hands with the pick up snakes, you know, we can be in a situation that looks dangerous or dark and not be harmed, basically, because we know who's with us.
And you remember the snake bit Paul,
yeah,
on the island?
That's right.
And then he just shook it off in the fire.
Amen.
And they thought he was going to die. They said, surely he is a criminal, but he escaped.
And then they said he was demonic.
Yeah, then they turned around and said he's a god because he didn't die.
And then they said, no, he's demonic. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. The Bible is fun,
yeah.
You know, when you really read and start to. I was telling someone that yesterday I told my brother, when I read the Bible now, it takes on such different life, you know, and every time I read, you know, God wants to show me something that I didn't see the last time. He's always teaching. So after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them. So the same thing, he's still with us. Now he's in us, right? When he sat at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit came to indwell and infill us. Infilling is a daily process. Indwelling is we're saved. He's in us. But we can have, I was also saying to my brother, I can have my husband in a room in my house and never go in that room just because, and I'm not lying. Yeah, I'm married. I have a husband. But I'm never spending time with him. I'm never seeing him. You know, he's just there. He's in the house, but I don't know him. And that's the same thing with, well, even in the beginning, that's what it was like. It was like Jesus was there, but I didn't know. I wasn't spending time with him. And his word is how we spend time with God. Okay, so spiritual gifts of speaking in tongue. Let's get started. So the Holy Spirit language is the heavenly language. That's what tongues is, okay? Speaking in tongues is a Holy Spirit prayer language that directly communicates with God. That's why it's we don't understand it. And some people, when they do interpret, they can hear it in their language. And we'll get to that. But tongues is a gift prophesied in Isaiah, fulfilled, actually. And Paul quoted Isaiah in 1 Corinthians 14, 1-2, when he said, follow the way of the of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongue does not speak to people, but to God. That they utter mysteries by the Spirit. Okay, I might have to read that because I must have missed something when I was writing, because I write my scriptures by hand too when I'm reading. So Paul quoted this, and he illustrated that God can speak through tongues to his people. And in Isaiah 28, 11, 12 says, for by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people to whom he has said, this is rest. Give rest to the weary, and this is repose. Yet they would not hear. So spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11 says there are diversities of gifts. And we've been reading this scripture for the last few weeks. But the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and that's what we talked about last week, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so Mark 16, 17, 18 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hand, like we just spoke about. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So we cannot neglect salvation, the deliverance from sin and its consequences of death, right? And it's by faith through Christ, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, right? That we can lay hands on the sick, do these things. We don't want to. When we're not speaking in tongue, we're neglecting our salvation too. You know, when we're not praying in tongue. You can pray in tongue and not expect an interpretation. Praying in tongue is just you and the Lord. Sometimes if I wake up in the middle of the night and I started practicing that as soon as I recognized I had the gift of tongue, I started to do that in the middle of the night if I woke up, because in the beginning, it's like I was so full of power, like inside energy, mm-hmm. Like I was like lit up. I couldn't even sleep and I didn't feel tired. It was like all day and all night I could pray. You know, I just wanted to be with God.
Amen.
All day and all night. And I would sleep maybe like an hour and I'd wake up and I'd want to be praying, you know, and it was like that because I was lit up. I was alive. It was definitely the power. There was a power in me that I didn't understand it. I understand it today. I couldn't control it. It was just I had to be with him, you know, and I really believe it was the Holy Spirit in me, you know, mm-hmm. and praying in tongue. So Hebrews 2:1-4 says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, who believed, right? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts. So the gift of tongue, speaking in tongue, is important, of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So it's God's will that we all speak with new tongues. It's a heavenly language. We're citizens of the kingdom. It's kingdom language. Amen. Right?
Yeah, and you're edifying yourself when you're... It's the one gift that'll edify yourself. And you never know what you may be praying for. I do want to say, when she said earlier that about continually being filled, in Acts 4:29, they said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Amen. By stretching forth their hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now, these are people that were already filled in Acts chapter 2. So they'd already been filled with the Spirit. Verse 30 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness. So there's a thing kind of in the American charismatic movement I watched go on where people were like, do you got the Holy Ghost? Do you got the Holy Ghost? And then the one's like, yeah, I spoke in tongues. And there was a little thing, even some clicks going on. Oh, they hadn't got the gift, or they have the gift. And then when did you speak in tongues? Oh, 20 years ago. Yeah, do you pray in tongues? No, that, you know, I got the gift though. And it's like, it's a infilling, you know, staying up filled.
Yes.
Daily, amen. Like you said.
Amen.
So I want to...
Thank you, James. And I want to read that scripture that I wrote down. I must have left out a word or something. It started not making sense to me. So I want to read it in 1 Corinthians 14:1-2. It was when I was talking about Paul quoting, referring, Isaiah 28:11-12. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Amen. So, and the Holy Spirit knows, it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak through us to God. Have your way with me, Holy Spirit. And I just sometimes, whenever I walk the dogs, I pray in tongue. I don't, you know, I sing a song, you know, I do something that is to encourage, edify, and build my spiritual relationship up. Okay, so I wanted to read that so that that went out right. So why doesn't all speak in tongues? So this is my theory. Please don't beat me up, everybody. But I feel like ego, pride can get in the way. Unbelief, ignorance, not knowing him, right? Darkness, you know, ignorance is darkness. You know, when we're living in darkness, like, nobody told me about the Holy Spirit. Well, you've been living in darkness. We're going to turn on the lights today. Okay? He's a being. He's a human. He's a being that needs a human vessel in order to be and manifest himself through us. Hallelujah.
Now, I had a common thing with that is the occult things. We may not even realize we're occult. We can even do them as a joke. And that group of, it's like 30 people out of the Baptist church that were, I shared with about their praying and seeing healing and everything. And the guy running the group, I was talking on the phone one night, and he's like, man, I've had several people pray over me. I just can't get the gift of tongues. And I was like, well, did you ever like call a psychic or have tarot cards read over you. I started name singing. I said, no, my mom was very, knew the Lord really well. And then I said, well, what about, and I mentioned some things. One might have been like the magic eight ball thing you twist around and get your fortune. I think that might have been one. There's like three things that I got. And then I answered him through repentance. And then he's talking, and he's a fireman. He usually goes to bed early. And then we hung up, and it was late for him. It was like 11:30 or 12. He's going to bed like 9:30. So I didn't want to call him back. I'm like, man, I forgot to pray over him to be filled. And 45 minutes later, he calls back. He says, I've been talking to Papa for 45 minutes. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, man, as soon as we hung up, I started speaking in tongues. I'm like,
praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. I also believe worry, too. Worry what other people are going to think. Like, how am I going to sound? Nothing makes sense. So in our heads that we're not being free in the heart.
Yeah, and waiting on him, some people just hold their mouth shut thinking God's going to force it out of them. And it says we speak in tongues, like he's doing the he's giving your spirit control. But another thing is people that are real left brain are very a lot harder for them because they're so mental thinking, you know. Right brain people are a lot easier to flow in tongues. There's other things.
So again, because I had shared about in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, 18, 19, it says, and Paul says this, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding than I may teach others also, that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongue. So, you know, Praying in tongue is
because unless it's interpreted, I believe that's
That's
keep
right.
Reading on.
So it's important. It's actually it's spiritual exercise for us when we pray in tongue too.
And he said, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you."
More than all of you. So and Paul,
so he was praying
and
all
Paul
the time.
Didn't walk with Jesus Christ physically. He walked with the Holy Spirit like we do.
Amen.
So it's possible for everyone listening to, when the show is over, to start praying in tongue, speaking in tongue. You can do it right now. Hallelujah. And we'll be praying for everyone. So the coming of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 1-4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, and this James was reading some of this too, in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, and there's something about being in fellowship, especially, and someone, you know, speaks in tongue or praying in tongue. We, our church freely prays in tongue. It doesn't mean, it means I'm praying. You can pray in tongue privately. And then I'm praying in tongue, even if I'm with others. Sometimes we just pray. And that's all I can say because I don't know what to say in my own words. And I think that's what Paul's saying too.
And a lot of times when you pray over people, like people that are very gifted in personal prophecy will lay their hands, and when you just pray in tongues a little bit, and it kind of clears your mind, and then they start hearing. That's common too.
Amen. So they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each other. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gives us utterance. Now, I'm not saying you don't have the Holy Spirit because you have tongue. You can do it. You might not be operating in it. I mean, it's the same thing. I can't say because you're sinning, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You could have the Holy Spirit and still do things, you know, that grieve the Holy Spirit or, you know, or go against what the Holy Spirit wants. That's not what we're saying. You have the gift. You have the ability. It's up to you to operate and practice.
Someone filled with the Spirit laying hands on you to be filled.
And if you feel like, that's the other thing, and we'll talk about that too. If you feel like, well, nobody's ever laid hands and you want to, we just ask the Father. He says we don't receive because we don't ask. He's already given it to us, and he'll send someone. You could ask somebody at your church. You can just ask him yourself. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you. I want the Holy Spirit to to speak to you, Lord.
And if you're in a church, you know, we're not putting anyone down. If you're in one that doesn't believe in that, you probably aren't seeing healings and miracles and other things either, because they think that's all passed away.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking in tongues is evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's evidence. There's lots of things that fruit is evidence of indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So there's...
Yeah, I drank one time after I got filled with the Spirit and I felt convicted the first time. I always thought God was okay with it. And I was living with a woman. I quit sleeping with her.
Amen.
And so, I mean, that's not something I just made up to do. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
The presence of God came strong when I got filled with the Spirit.
Amen, James. Amen. Because my life, there were things I believed that I don't today, not because I know him. I just doesn't make sense to me anymore the other way of thinking, you know. And there's things that have changed in me without me even making a conscious effort to say, I got to stop doing this. They just started to happen. I started to desire to do differently, you know, and not the same old way. So which is a reason why believers should desire and ask the Father for the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:12-14, it says, or if he asks for an egg, and this is what we're saying. So we're saying to ask, right? Will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And not only the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit and everything the Holy Spirit has. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It's the same power. He wants to give you all the power to step on serpents, to lay hands on the sick, all of it. He doesn't want to leave anything out. Deliverance, freedom.
Okay. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and I quote these a lot, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, which is kind of where we are in America, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rely, should not stand on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And then again in 4:19, he said, but I will come to you shortly and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So without the Holy Spirit and being endowed with power, you can't even demonstrate any power.
Amen. Amen. So, and Paul encourages us to continue the practice of speaking with tongue, because it bubbles us up, like you were saying, James, earlier. It's to edify us. It's to build us up inside, right? And it's also to edify the church. And the interpretation is like a prophecy of tongue. But and it turns on the power in us. The Holy Spirit fire burns brighter. It edifies us spiritually. The spiritual man rises above. Oh my God, this is so good. The spiritual man leads and rises above the flesh, your natural thoughts, your natural desires. It rises above all that, and it leads and guides. You allow your spirit man to walk in spirit. Hallelujah. So God has given the church his divine language to speak directly to him. What a gift that we have a language that we can go to the Father, and he knows our hearts.
It's basically him praying through us.
It's him praying through us, right? Because he knows how we should be praying.
Yeah.
Amen. So sometimes I have to say, God, you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I need to say. I don't even know what I need to say half the time. And let me tell you, our English language, not only English, our human language in every language of the world, doesn't compare to God's heavenly language. We don't even have half the terminology of the things of heaven. Like, there are things that he reveals to me, in my heart, that I can't even find a word that I put to it sometimes when I get a revelation, minimizes it so much that it's not as big as it was when it came in, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to minimize this because I don't have the word, because we're so limited here on earth.
And revelations are that way. You could never give what you got.
Amen. And that's why...
Because the Lord has given it to you.
Yeah. And that's why some people, and we'll I touch on it a little bit. Some people sometimes say, well, why did they speak so long in tongue? But then it was like two words in English. Because it's just, you know, or maybe... They said two words
and
in tongue.
And people can miss it, too. Let's not act like every one of them is always. Because
they used to
do that a lot when I was 30 years ago, when I was more new in the Lord. It was a very common thing for people to stand up and give a tongue, like right after worship or in a break in worship. And then someone would give interpretation.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm sure that no one's perfect. Not everybody's healed, I pray for, but I've seen a lot healed.
Mm-hmm.
And, but can I give a testimony?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy had actually brought Luann to meet me in the beginning, come to my classes, he was pastoring a little while,
praise
but
God.
He was a deacon in the church I was in. He lived a crazy life. A lot of people would probably know his name, Larry Masters, and he's passed away now. But he would, a lot of times, the Lord would use him giving a tongue at the end, and then someone would interpretate it. And I always say, man, that's a language when he's doing it. I'm like, it was definitely different. And so the pastor's son, who everybody would know, maybe I won't say, was getting married to this girl, and she was older, and she had a lot of drug problems, and nobody cared about her. But now she's going to marry this guy. And this church speaks in tongues, so these three people come down, these pastors, because they don't believe in it, and they're going to check this church out. You know, God forbid she goes in a tongue-talking church, but it's okay to, you know, be on drugs, be out selling yourself. Anyway, so they come down, and the pastor was kind of nervous because he flowed in the spirit really well, but he didn't go to seminary. And he had been an alcoholic and got filled with the Spirit, and we had lots and lots of healings there, neat miracles, and even a lot of stuff with the weather, and poured concrete in the church, and it rained all around the church. And Larry Masters guaranteed it would be raining there because the pastor was praying. But anyway, so they came to check it out. Then at the end, God gives Larry a tongue, and then he gives the tongue, and then nobody's interpreting. And the pastor actually said God gave him it, but he was afraid to speak the interpretation. So then Larry got the interpretation to the tongue. And it was like one word at a time. And it went so long, he started wondering if he's hearing himself. Is this God? Is this you? And so then they went out to eat after. The pastor went with the three preachers and the son and the woman he's marrying, and they said, what do you think about the service? And the young guy, because one of the guys is like elderly, I guess 75, 80 years old, and sorry, Dave. and the rest of them, the other two are like 40s, and the young guy says, well, we really like the service, we don't believe in like the last part, we just don't agree. And the old guy says, what do you mean the last part? And the old guy knew Hebrew. And he goes, that part where the guy's praying in tongues. He goes, that guy wasn't praying in tongues. That guy spoke perfect Hebrew. And then when he got done, he said word for word in English everything he said in Hebrew. And I don't know why in the world he did that, but that wasn't tongues. That was Hebrew. And Larry didn't know one word of Hebrew.
Amen. Amen. So, yes, I remember that story. Praise the Lord. So, yes, so somebody can actually hear their language and interpret.
I want to say one quick thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, it was languages. I've had people say that. And I said, well, how were they all hearing their own language? So he spoke all languages at one time.
Yeah, right.
It's like the gift came on the people hearing too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen.
So.
Amen. So 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And that means we don't understand. You know, fruit is understanding, but we're not supposed to, we don't always get an interpretation. Sometimes we do. Sometimes God wants us to understand because he wants the message out. Sometimes God wants to use us to pray, to intercede for someone else. Maybe we don't know the person, but he needs our vessel. He needs our voice. And we open our mouth and let him pray for us. for that for someone else. I believe with all my heart, because there's no one that I knew before I got born again in my life. I mean, if I did know them, I didn't know they were born again. I believe somebody prayed for me in the spirit, maybe from another country, and I got saved because I didn't know anyone. I thought there was something wrong with me when I got saved. I thought I was really going to the loony.
I remember when you made the
psychiatrist appointment. I was like, I got to go see a psychiatrist. God's talking to me. This is not good. I was like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. My family thinks I'm cuckoo already. And now I'm going to say I hear God.
I remember that.
Oh. Okay, so let's see. So it says, okay, so God's not a liar, right? It says in Romans 3:4, certainly not, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be just in your word and may overcome when you are judged. So if God says, if God's word says speaking in tongue is of value, then speaking of tongue in tongue is of value. If God says it edifies, then it edifies. If God says it's a supernatural way to communicate with him, then it's a supernatural way to communicate with him. And if God says every believer receives the gift of tongue, then every believer receives the gift of tongues. So Mark 16, 17, 18 says, and these signs, I'm going to keep reading it because it's important. We have to remember that these signs follow us. We don't have to go chasing. I always use the metaphor of like, let things chase you. You know, let finances chase you. Don't go chasing because then you lose your focus. If I'm focused on how can I get this or how can I do that, then I'm not focused on the right on him. You know? All right. So, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons.
Amen.
Amen. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. All his promises are available to you. You listening right now. That's right. You. Yes and amen. That's what we need to. Can I get a yes and amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So his word provides. It's in his word, right? His word provided all the promises. So speaking in tongue is a way to maintain your life with God, both spiritually and naturally. He needs your natural ability to speak spiritually. Okay? Jude 1, 20, 30, 21, sorry. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. So he's telling us to continue praying in the Spirit, to keep ourselves in the love. It's oneness with God. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, heavenly language, right? Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues is a choice based on faith in what you believe the word says. When you believe, you receive because it's already been given. He gave it already. The giving has been done. Now it's about receiving what he's already given us, okay? He already gave you every spiritual gift, everything. It's all yours. Hallelujah. So if the gifts of tongues is from the devil, then all gifts are from the devil. He made the list. He tells us what to expect as a citizen, as a child of God. Tongue is given for edification and encouragement to the body of Christ and to build up the church of God. If it's not serving God, then it's not of God. Okay? Because it's really to serve God, as to build up his people. People who receive, that means take, lambano, the gift. When we receive something, we're taking it from God gave it to us. We're taking it from God, right? The gift of tongue, know that it's from God. What you believe you receive, speaking in tongue, is operating in a greater measure of the Holy Spirit, one level to another level, right? faith in what God says about tongues, or any manner determine that level, that level that you will receive. You receive on to the measure of what you believe. Okay? Now, you know, either the word is the word of God, all of it, not some of it, or none of it. So what you believe, I believe the word of God is God's word. It's his, he's speaking to us. I believe it's true. Every word of it. I can't take pieces of it and say, well, that doesn't really apply. It doesn't work like that. It either is all or none. And if I try to add or take away to fulfill my own need, there's going to be pain and suffering in the process. There's consequences for that. And I choose not to live that way. And when I find myself doing that, because, you know, I might say, oh, I have to go and repent or make it right. So, like, if someone wrongs me and I want to stay angry, that right there, I have no right to do that because God lives in me. Love and forgiveness want to give itself to the other person. It has nothing to do with me. So tongues are a matter, faith in what God says about tongues are a matter, or any matter determines the level that you will receive, okay? So I can't receive what I don't believe I already have. So if I'm still trying to get something, then it's works because he already did it all. Hallelujah. So truth, the word, God's word, right, breaks strongholds and unbinds us, and action is evidence of your freedom. So when you can move freely, right, in liberty and justice and all of that, and you're not walking around with a chip on your shoulder or always looking to get more, or, you know, it's a lifestyle of being free and peaceful and content. Hallelujah. So John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, God's word, right? And the truth, God's word, shall make you free. And that's create you to be free. He created us to be free in the garden with him. He's our creator. So I want to go to the creator and ask him, how did you create me, God? How did you create me to be? What am I supposed to be doing? He's the one with the correct directions on how to operate properly here. I could go to other people, but they're going to give me an altered view. I want to go directly to God. And the Holy Spirit helps me do that.
That's usually something you don't want to do.
What?
Your gifts, like if you're called to teach or
you don't want
to speak in front of people, you got to fear that since the enemy knows your gifts
exactly.
And attacks you to stop you.
That's the truth. Preach it, James. Yeah, so if you're struggling with like, I got to go.
You got massive rejection, you're probably a prophetic gift.
Amen.
I tell people that when I'm ministering, I'm like, oh man, all the rejection you got, I guarantee you're going to be prophetic when you start moving.
Amen. I'm telling you, one of the things for me, I was a horrible, I believed I was, and I was because I manifested what I was believing, a horrible speller. I couldn't write. I didn't understand grammar. And now look what God has me doing. I'm studying all the time. I'm writing all the time. I'm words, you know, and it's amazing. You know, I still struggle with reading and stuff, but I don't care. Because he teaches me so much. I don't care. You know, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. So God says it's a supernatural way to communicate with him. So do it, okay? It's important that we live our lives unto him and pleasing to him. And he wants us. He wants us to be one with him and to communicate with him. All right? So tongues did not stop with the apostles, the disciples. Ananias was a disciple that laid hands on Paul. Right? Paul spoke in tongues. Also, the centurion. Paul.
No, it wasn't that. It's because the Methodist church, the pastor, the one where the miracles are breaking out now, the pastor was praying for God to send him and Ananias to help him. He said, I sent you James.
Amen. Praise God. And who were the disciples? Us, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Ananias baptized Saul. We can go and baptize people. In the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. All right? So I will read Acts 9, 10, 9, Maybe not. Do you have another? Maybe we should, because we have a little bit more.
Yeah, give another testimony.
Yeah, give another testimony. Then can you pray for everyone? I want to leave enough time for praying of, you know, speaking in tongue.
Yeah, just.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
same
you.
Same guy, Larry. Mm-hmm. He grew up Baptist, and he went out to the Baptist church, and he's there, and the Lord told him to get up and speak in tongues, and he argued and argued. He's like, Lord, these people don't speak in tongues. So he got up and did it, and then he gave the interpretation, and then afterwards they said they were praying that if this was real, for God to send someone there and do it. So they wanted him to pray over him. He talked to the pastor. The pastor said he didn't really want to let him pray over people. 6 months later, the Lord said, go back out there. So he went out there. And then after the service, the pastor said, after the worship, he said, the Lord spoke to me that there's a gentleman here that was here about 6 months ago, and that I'm to let him preach today if he wants to, if he's got anything prepared. So he got up and taught on the Holy Ghost. And then he sat back down, and pastor said, the Lord says there's some people here, they're going to pray over people, and then people receive. And he ended up praying over and they were like speaking in tongues, slain in the spirit. And they didn't even know what falling down was, you know. And so that's pretty cool, right?
It is
Baptist
cool.
Church.
Amen. You want to pray for everyone?
Yes. All right, I'll pray. Anyone wants to receive the gift of tongues, we'll Hallelujah. Pray right now over the ear. Father, I ask you to feel. First, let me say that you have to do the speaking. You just got to disconnect your mind and let your spirit pray. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, Lord, I ask you to fill people listening with your Holy Spirit. If they never spoke in tongues, that you give them the gift of tongues in Jesus' name. And just let whatever's coming up. And sometimes it sounds very babyish and grows. And some of the most gifted people I know, when they talk in tongues, they sound like a little baby. They don't,
Amen.
Their tongues don't sound very, but they are powerfully gifted.
Amen.
So fill them with your spirit.
And I'm just going to pray in tongues
a second.
Let
yeah,
us,
that's
yeah.
what I was going to say.
Thank
why
you.
We're praying. Fill them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Saladim, Makashanda, Saladim, Inaladiana,
We love you, Lord. We love you. And we love everyone listening. We're so happy that we were able to share this. And next week, we will have Pastor
amen.
Tom
There's
and
a blonde
James.
Hair woman.
Oh,
singing,
praise God. But... And so, amen. We love you guys.
You see.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Every moment.